Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the text before us is a classic case of the clash, or rather the head-on conflict, between God-given religion and man-made religion. And what better month to consider this than this blessed month when we celebrate the Reformation, in which God drove out, by his blessed gospel light, the superstitions and rules of human beings and the false wisdom of men, and flooded the church anew with the bright saving light of his alone saving gospel. Yes, look at the conflict there. The Pharisees make a tremendous fuss. Oh, they're eating the wrong things. That defiles a person. No, says the Lord, what defiles a person are the evil words that come out of your mouth, not the meat and veggies that go in and soon disappear anyway. Reminds me of an occasion many years ago. We were living in New York at the time, and the next day a Russian monk was going to come to visit. So my aunt and other ladies worked all morning to prepare a magnificent, hospitable lunch for this great holy man to enjoy when he came. Well, when the holy man got there, he inquired about the ingredients in the soup and some other things, and he found there were one or two things that clashed with his self-chosen fast. And he made these poor women go on a second shopping expedition, buy new groceries, and prepare an entirely new meal so that this wretched holy man could eat properly. Was that holiness? It was pure Phariseeism. Real holiness would have followed the principle of Holy Scripture: eat whatever they set before you. Why make a fuss? Why bother people? But the display of alleged superior holiness, of elitism, that's typical Phariseeism. The Pharisees, remember, they loved to stand in public places and do their prayers there. They loved to look religious in public and to be admired for their religiosity. It's much easier, dear friends, to be a Pharisee than it is to be a Christian. All you have to do is follow outward forms and ceremonies, and that's it. But the real truth is different. Our Lord delivers us from these lies and superficial pretenses. And especially in this month of the glorious Reformation that God gave to his church, we celebrate anew the life-giving salvation that we have, not in human traditions, but in the divine word itself. That's the blessed treasure that carries the day, and that is the blessed treasure that saves us. Some recent Roman theologians have even invented now a distinction between primary theology and secondary theology. So that, for example, if you get your forehead smeared with black tar on Ash Wednesday, oh, that's primary theology, because that's ritual. But if you teach the pure gospel of salvation in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in the means of grace alone, oh, that's secondary theology, that's too intellectual. Hideous Phariseeism, this. No. What the Word of God does not mention has no primary value. Now, there are some ancient traditions that are good and beautiful. For example, the sign of the Holy Cross, Our catechism therefore retains and commends it. But remember that all gestures and all external practices must be derived meaning from the true faith, from the pure gospel, never the other way around. I myself find it very difficult to see how it is that anybody who has ever seen the radiant truth of the Reformation, who has seen the pure gospel as God revealed it again then, free of human error and delusion, and then to return again to the spiritual slavery of the Antichrist, or to the saint worship and self-salvation of Eastern Orthodoxy, as some of our graduates have done. That's deeply tragic. If you catch a true glimpse, if you allow the Word of God really to illuminate you, if you truly grasp hold of the gospel and celebrate it as we do this month, celebrate the glory of the pure gospel, then, dear friends, we could never bow to human authority. Of course, there are more than one way of doing it, not just tradition. It could also be bylaws. When regulations are made which require us to comply with the opinion of a so-called ecclesiastical supervisor or with some synodical commission, whether or not it agrees with the Word of God, that's idolatry and sacrilege. And in this blessed Reformation month, we must hold up the pure banner of the Word of God and defy all human authority, because Christ has made us free, not with the law, but with the gospel. That blessed gospel of which he said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That blessed gospel, dear friends, not only forgives us, but also enables us to lead a God-pleasing life. And that God-pleasing life does not consist in ceremonies or ritual. St. James writes, "True religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And these visitations are not just for chit-chat, but to help the fatherless and the widows and help provide food and other necessities of life. That's true religion, not endless ceremonial and showing off your religiosity before other people. So may the Lord, in this Reformation month, again brighten our hearts with the truth of his wonderful gospel and enliven us so that we may please him truly also with our lives by his grace alone and by his mercy. And may he save the church from all human delusions and human authorities and grant us the life-giving freedom of the gospel of God. I should like to conclude with the wonderful epistle for yesterday. Here it is, Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Dear friends in Christ, go in peace and joy, and treasure as free Christian human beings, as free Christians, sons and daughters of God, treasure the life-giving gift of God's love in His Son that we have in His Holy Gospel and sacraments. May the joy and peace of God go with you always. Amen.